This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, I know exactly how to take this text. As we were talking late in the segment, segment about using a mechanism of singing or humming to kind of pass the time. Cam Smith, right fielder for the Astros, who's now lonely playing right field because he's not there near all his fellow infielders, says that he sings Bob Marley to pass the time and pass the loneliness. And someone says, so Sean, LMAO, that's why you hear men, all caps, that work with their hands humming and singing. It passes the time.
Yeah.
I think they're throwing a little shade at me for my lack of manual labor on my resume, is what that feels like.
Turns out, is this why people sing when they're on a...
Fair.
All these movies about chain gangs make sense now.
Guilty is charged, yes.
Wait a second, those guys working on the railroad were actually singing about working on the railroad?
Singing and humming, yeah.
Oh my God.
Here is D'Amico Ryans, hard worker himself, on the culture that the Texans have established. This is yesterday. D'Amico had his first off-season program meeting with the media yesterday. Good to hear from the head coach on the culture they've established and others being able to carry his message.
We have a really solid group of guys who've been here. They understand, right, who I am. They understand my mentality, my approach, and what I expect out of guys. So it's not so much of me, so much of messaging of how we do things or what those guys can carry along the message. Right, they can follow CJ, follow Will, follow Jalen, follow, you know, a lot of guys who've done it the right way. They've seen how I've operated for the past 2 years. So, coaches, we don't need to be out there. We know we have really good leadership on our team, guys who do it the right way, guys who bring other guys along, and guys who expect to build a winning culture here. And so they just follow those guys. They'll fit in just fine.
It's exactly what we worried about last year, which is, all right, they've got the swarm culture on defense. And everything that D'Amico is saying right there is, I feel like it still applies to the defense. I'm not so sure it applies to the offense. I don't know exactly who in the offensive line meeting room is the guy that has been there and understands the culture and this is how it's going to be. Like, no. Whatever the culture was on offense last year was not the culture that you need to aspire to. That's still a work in progress on that side of the ball, I think. And I think CJ, this is where it gets dicey with quarterbacks. CJ knows it, and CJ operates the way I think you want a quarterback to operate. But quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, you got to be careful on how much you lean into them being the enforcer on a lot of that stuff. You got to have veterans at each position group that you feel really good about. On defense, they've got veterans at each position group that you feel really good about, that care about football deeply, that compete like crazy. On defense especially, they have an appetite for violence amongst guys who are in their 30s, which is nice. Sometimes the testosterone levels die down a little bit, and you don't have the appetite for violence. No, still a very healthy appetite for violence on defense. Offense, I'm not so sure. I don't know what the appetite for violence is in a lot of those position groups.
Yeah, we just don't know. I do feel like part of that cut there, Seth, as I'm listening to it, I do think about Laramie Tunsil and him not being in the building. It's become quite evident over the last several weeks and months as the draft gets discussed, or as Stingley gets extended, Nico gets extended last year, Jalen Petrie gets extended. It does become very apparent that at least moving forward, being present is a big deal with this leadership, you know, with the head coach in the front office. I think that's a big deal to them, and I'm partially guessing here. I don't know, maybe I'm out over my skis, but I do feel like there's part of what D'Amico is talking about there, where in my mind I feel like the last vestiges of the guys that work out somewhere else when everybody else is in the building are now gone. And we can do what it is you're talking about, which is now try to establish that on the offensive side of the football better.
Well, the one thing I like too is when we talked to Caserio last time, Caserio had made the point that they really try to provide everything that a player wants or feels he needs in his offseason preparation. Because what will happen a lot of times is guys go and they start working out at some facility somewhere, and they have this new thing that they love or that they think is vital to their performance. And that's why I got to stay there and I got to work out in Nevada instead of in Houston or wherever else. So teams understand that, and they try to work with the players, which can be frustrating from the team's perspective, because usually by and large what happens is some guy will be like, I absolutely need this piece of equipment. They buy the equipment, they put it in there.
It's dust.
And you could run a white glove on it 3 weeks later.
Why is the wrapper still on this piece of equipment?
Or these damn Instagram personal trainers, where they get their clients convinced that if you're not balancing on one foot on a physio ball while holding a kettlebell above your head, then you're not really developing your proprioception properly or whatever.
Oh my
God. You got to fight against some of that.
Yeah.
Some of that, really, frankly, some of the quackery that's out there. But it's a give and a take, and you try to really just make guys feel like, yeah, this is the best place for me to be individually, but that it's also the best place for me to be to really get to know my teammates.
Yep. Here was Nick Caserio. We're gonna hear from D'Amico Ryans again in a second. Here was Nick Caserio. One of the cuts from his press conference last week that got the most run was his insistence that the Texans do not draft on need.
Well, we've never drafted from need around here. I mean, we're never going to. So we're going to pick the best player that we feel fits our program, regardless of the position. I'd say other than a quarterback, I mean, I'd say pretty much any position is on the table. So like it always is. So try to stay true to our board. That's the reason we grade the players. So we put the players on the board. We grade them accordingly. We value them accordingly relative to what we think the role is going to be. And then we take them off the board as we see fit. So, I mean, that's not going to change.
Okay, so that was Nick. So D'Amico gets asked about this yesterday. So this is always fun. When it's a question that the person that D'Amico Ryans works most closely with gave his answer a week ago. D'Amico Ryans asked yesterday on drafting best player available versus drafting for need.
That's always the big talk in a draft, like need, best available. For us, we're going to take the best guy on the board. We won't just pass up a top player on our board just because we have a need at a certain position. It's okay to enhance and have a really strong position group if the draft falls that way. So you go in, there's no handcuffs on, hey, we have to draft this certain position and we're stuck at only looking at this position. No, we have a broad view of how we want to enhance our team, and it's not just looking at it, in a tight lens of it's only one way. Like, we open, like, if it's a position there, if it's a player that can really change our team, we're going to take that guy. So that's where we talk about not truly drafting for need. We want to take the best players on our board.
So a slightly less dismissive version of Nick Caserio's answer.
Now, this is the way that I think some teams do it, to where they can speak and not be lying, where they say they take it based on their board or best player available, is that you kind of tweak the board a little bit based on maybe what you need or the types of players that you have. Now, some players are on there that just don't fit your system, so those guys are off the board. But that sometimes, all right, maybe there's a tie here, or these guys are graded very similarly, but boy, we sure could use an offensive lineman and we don't need an edge rusher. And then the other thing that happens too is that when you see a GM like Nick move around within the draft, all right, we want to be sure we're taking the best player available. We stay true to our grades and our methods and everything. But, boy, there's a few offensive linemen just a few picks above us. And, boy, it'd be nice to be right there in that band of offensive linemen.
I don't think it's black and white. I do think the truth is probably way closer to what Nick is talking about. Like, I don't think he's standing up there and lying about it. I wonder if, like, getting asked about it every year gets frustrating. Oh. He gets asked about it every year, you know?
No, every GM does. And it's got to be one of those things that the question that – I think that was the response that inspired the question of the day last week, where John asked, what's something that you say that's always a lie.
Yeah, something
you say all the time.
Yeah, but
it's always a lie. And I think a lot of people just assume the GM is lying when they say they take best player available.
Yeah,
I think some organizations totally do take, oh, let's say 98% of the time, best player available, and some don't.
Yeah,
but they all say that they do. But so it's one of those things where I feel like if you're a GM who genuinely takes best player available, it's got to get really old knowing that people think you're lying every time you say it.
Yeah.
Like, the question of the day could be for those guys at some point, like, what's something people say that it's true but that everybody assumes is a lie?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think there's some people that are convinced that everybody cheats no matter what.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, people who cheat tend to feel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Like, everybody cheats.
You mean cheating on a spouse or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, or on a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something. You know, people have a more cynical view of things, so they just say, like, they're lying when they say they've never done this or that.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. I think it is specific to this business. Like, I talk to people, and they'll ask me about people from other stations, and I'll be like, no, I'm good friends with so-and-so. I'm good friends with so-and-so. No, I'm good friends with... I'm friendly with almost everybody in our business, and I think there's a lot of people... especially that see some people who maybe aren't as friendly with each other on social media going back and forth, and they just assume that we all hate each other, you know?
Yeah. So they don't believe you when you say you're friends with them.
No, I'm friends with this guy. I'm friends with that. Especially the bigger an a-hole that person
and
is.
And people just probably don't believe you.
They probably don't believe me. Yeah. They probably just feel like I'm not trying to start things, you know?
I get this, and this is interesting again, and this goes like how people's personal experience colors things. Because guys like in radio will be like, so what do the Texans allow you to say and not say?
Yes.
I'm like, they don't say it. Like, the only time they've ever come to me is when I say factually, like, they correct something that I was factually wrong about.
Yep.
Like by and large, I've got carte blanche to say whatever the hell I want.
People don't believe that.
But they don't believe it.
You're
100%
right. You're 100% right. And it is the God's honest truth. I tell people this all the time. Like, the only time that somebody has reached out where I've said something, and I've said plenty of things. I mean, look, you couldn't go through 2020 through 2023 without criticizing the team on a daily basis. Was literally in 2014 where, remember, Jadeveon Clowney tore his knee because the thought was he got his cleat caught in the pallet system there.
And
the team, I think, was very defensive of the pallet system back then at least, because they had gotten sued by Brett Hartman, the punter. Gene Eggdorf was the lawyer on that one and stuff like that. I got a call from Kevin Cooper with some stats on the Texans' injury rate for their grass versus the other fields in the league. That's it. That's
one of those things where they're not, like, they're just saying, hey, here's more information.
Yeah.
And the one time, the biggest example, and again, it was something that didn't need to be corrected, but the Texans felt like, and the Texans were kind of PO'd about this, because I had said at some point, we had gotten a text during the show where they were, somebody had said, well, the Texans will never draft a black quarterback or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went off. Then later in the show, some quarterback became available. There was news that some quarterback was available for trade or something. And I said, I don't know. I guess the Texans will have to check their racial policy first. And somehow that
sarcastically.
I said it sarcastically. Yeah. It was obviously sarcastic. It got back to Bob McNair somehow that I was saying that the Texans have a race policy on quarterbacks.
For quarterbacks. Oh, my God.
So I got a call from Bob McNair. He's like,
yeah.
Seth, we don't have a racial policy. I was like, Mr. McNair, I know. I can assure you. This was a sarcastic comment, and I don't think he believed me. I think he was doing that thing where I was saying, and he didn't believe me. He's like, "Well, Seth, it's just ridiculous." I was like, "I know, that was the genesis of my joke that I was making. It was ridiculous."
Did you send him the audio? I would have sent him the audio.
The program director did, but at that point there were some just like genuine morons advising Mr. McNair.
Yeah,
that didn't get it. Yeah. I don't know. It was like such a clear cut case.
Right,
it was
sarcasm.
Such a clear cut case of sarcasm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, but I think it was in the midst of a whole lot of other stuff going on, so they were kind of. But again, it wasn't. It was him calling up. He didn't say, "Don't say that."
Right.
He was explaining to me that they don't have a racial policy on quarterbacks.
I know.
I'm like,
don't.
You know what? It would honestly be a big surprise to me if you did.
Yes.
You know, like 6 months before you draft Deshaun Watson.
Oh my God.
But
it's a good topic. Text in some things that you say that are true that you say that people just don't believe you.
Well, the one thing I know just is this, that there's some people that are convinced that every NFL player is on steroids, and there's nothing you can do to sway them from that.
Who are these
and
people?
I'll be like, oh, I'm not denying that there are.
You're right.
It's just like, by and large, for the most part, like football is a sport where it, like, because they test as much as they do, whatever you can get away with doesn't necessarily really give you all that much an advantage. It's not like a 100-meter dash where like 1/100th of a second is the difference between being on the Wheaties box or not.
Yep.
So it's not like some people are convinced that every professional athlete is on PEDs.
Nothing
you try to tell them no. And I'm like, dude, there's guys that you can't be bothered to, like, they can't be bothered to take creatine.
Yes.
I assure you. Yeah, whatever, Seth. Whatever. Like, all right.
Ted Washington was definitely roiding. What are we doing, man? 380 pounds. All right. Peyton Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. All right. Coming up next, CJ Stroud. He met with the media yesterday as well. He said one thing that got people very excited about the possibilities for the offense this year. And we got to go back and listen to his take on the offensive line changes as well. With CJ, his first words when he was asked about it was, "Yeah, I'm excited." I need to listen to the rest of that cut to see exactly how excited he is. We'll get to that in the next segment coming up next.